It's 8:15 Central African time. Welcome back to Under the Radar here on Radio Islam International. Taking you all the way until 10 p.m. this evening. We're talking this hour about Hajj and preparations for Hajj in the wake of the global uncertainty around the COVID-19 pandemic. And we obviously have seen one of the latest updates coming in the past week. That's just at the end of March, the 31st of March, where the Minister of Hajj reporting more on the Umrah situation in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the state of the Haram, Tawaf, etc., where they've completed the inspection of hotels in Makkah and all the pilgrims that couldn't go back to their countries because of the lockdown, given some special assistance and people in small numbers allowed to make tawaf, etc. That's relating to Umrah. We want to find out this evening what's the update and what are the considerations facing planning of Hajj from a South African perspective, particularly as much as that is also obviously linked to the global and Saudi perspective. With us this evening, we're very fortunate to have on board the president of the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, Sahuk, Brother Shaheen Isop, joining us on the line. Shaheen, thank you so much for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and also to the listeners of Radio Islam International. Jazakallah khairan for the opportunity, Brother Ibrahim.
A pleasure, and I think many people awaiting, some sort of, you've been communicating very, very often to the public with all the information that's available, but any discourse, any information that's sent out obviously just gives people some bit of reassurance or something to think about and at least put people's nerves at edge, I guess, for a short while. There are many what ifs, and I would imagine your approach to this would not be to delve so deep into the what ifs, given things can change at any time. But when people are posing you with the question, are we going for Hajj this year? Any South African potential prospective Hujjaj, what are you answering at the moment?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, once again, Jazakallah khairan for the opportunity. You know, you've summed it up in one very, very simple word, phrase, and that is what if. The what if situation, unfortunately, that befalls us is something that we are waiting for information about as well. South Africa can't make a decision on its own without the necessary input from the Ministry of Hajj or from our counterparts in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. At the end of the day, we're the guests of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia when we do embark on this journey for Hajj, and as a result of which, we need to pay close attention to what is currently going on in that particular country. You know, every little bit of news we get with regards to COVID is as important to them as it is to us and to everybody else around the world who is yearning to go for Hajj this year. So we need to make sure that we understand the process by which the ministry is basically meeting out information to us and also meeting out, news to us from a perspective of what is currently going on. Alhamdulillah, as you've indicated, we continuously keep the pilgrims informed in terms of what information does come our way, and we ensure that we try to make people abreast of what is currently going on in order to reduce the anxiety. The difficulty is that we've actually entered into an unprecedented era in our lives, because nobody in their wildest dreams would have envisaged or even thought of something like this befalling us. It has impacted everything from our way of life. You know, we're currently in a lockdown in South Africa, they're in a lockdown in Saudi Arabia and many other parts of the world, to the exorbitant number of lives that have been lost around the world. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift this COVID-19, pandemic from the globe, so that, I won't say people can go on with their normal lives, but so that we can go on with life in order to make sure that people are not only concerned about whether we're going to go for Hajj, but others that are there losing their lives, others that are losing their livelihood, others that are basically, worried where the next meal is going to come from, whether Muslim, whether non-Muslim. So it's a case of introspection. It's a case of retrospection. It's a case of, understanding exactly what is going on in the world. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that our people and the people from around the world all get to go and make Hajj this year. So again, it comes down to the point where we have to wait for the information from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and only upon that can we make the necessary decisions. Having said that, before I give you the opportunity to ask another question, having said that, there are certain things that we are doing from an internal point of view, because, alhamdulillah, as of the 15th of March, we had filled our quota in terms of accreditation. All the Hajj operators had their numbers, and we were waiting for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to give us the go-ahead, to continue our administration. But just before that, we received a letter from the ministry stating that all administration must be put on hold. Now, let's set that aside, Brother Ibrahim. That's one aspect of the situation. The economic situation in South Africa, unfortunately, is not great. And what has exacerbated the economic situation in South Africa is this downgrade by Moody's and Fitch in the last couple of weeks. And that has seen our rand-dollar exchange rate go from an average of between 14 and 15 early on in the year to over 19 over the weekend, 19.05 as we sit right now. If you look at the deterioration in the value of our currency, that tells me that there's going to be a serious dropout if Hajj is still going to go ahead because of affordability situation. That is a major problem that we're going to be faced with. So it is a double-edged sword that we as South Africans are faced with as a result of a situation that we find ourselves from an economic point of view, as well as from waiting for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to make the determination.
Mm-hmm.
Over to you.
And when it comes to that aspect that you've mentioned, the price fluctuations, how does this factor with the agents where they've entered into certain contracts, if they've completed that process with certain hujjaj, and now we see the prospects of prices changing dramatically, would you need to enter into a special dispensation or re-look those contracts again from scratch?
We're busy working with the operators and with the legal teams from all sides to try and find the best possible way. As mentioned in the interlude or in the introduction, we are in unprecedented times. We are in uncharted territory. And as a result of this uncharted territory, there's a tremendous amount of things that one needs to take considerations of. But the one key factor that operators have been put onto their, onto their packages is the fluctuation of currency and how that will impact on them. So let's look at a scenario in terms of where we are. First accreditation took place in January of this year, 9th of January. We're currently sitting in the 4th of April, 5th of April this year. So between the 9th of January and the 5th of April, you've seen a decline in the exchange rate of almost 30 to 35%. People who have basically contracted with the operator and paid the operator in full up front for their packages, I would say that those particular people would have no problems at this particular point in time. The problem comes in where a person was not able to do that and paid a certain portion, whether it be 25%, 30%, 50% of their fees, and the balance of the fees that is still outstanding, that now becomes payable at a new exchange rate. Because in order to repatriate that funds to conclude the booking of the rooms in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, there has to be an increase in the price that is going to be paid from a South African rand perspective, because your rial rate will remain the same. So in other words, if you're paying 500 rials for the room, instead of paying 4 rand for a rial to get to that 500 rials, you're now going to be paying 5 rand for a rial in order to get to that 500 rials. So it's costing you more in rands in order to get that particular room at the price that you originally agreed upon, which is the agent in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So there's a tremendous amount of, moving parts to the equation at this point in time that one needs to be cognizant of from a perspective of the economic situation. And let's, look at it in a two-pronged process. The COVID situation is one situation, and the economic situation or the economic impact is a second situation.
Still talking about prices there, is this yet another factor to include in that equation with everything on a shutdown, hotels, etc., the entire tourism or Hajj industry, during these few months, Ramadan potentially, and after that, if Hajj eventually happens, can we also factor in the possibility of the prices increasing from that side, people trying to make up for lost months and lost time of business?
You know, Brother Ibrahim, that's speculation. And at this point in time, I wouldn't like to speculate in that particular regard. Because the one thing that is important is an operator put out a Hajj package in January. That operator needed to have concluded a contract for that particular building in order for that package to become a reality, which means there is a written contract between the operator and the Haji and the operator's hoteliers in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for a specific price. So I don't deem it to be such that hoteliers in the kingdom could increase their prices. It's a totally different scenario. For example, if a person were to try to get extra rooms and he has not or she has not yet, you know, accounted for those extra rooms, then yes, one would have to look at, you know, a new negotiated contract for those extra rooms in the kingdom, you know, insofar as that is concerned. But I think that is speculation, and that is something that we don't want to really delve into in terms of that price, you know, process.
And in terms of, you know, the situation in South Africa, if that stabilizes, if the situation in Saudi Arabia stabilizes, there's still many other factors to consider, because Hajj being an international journey, it wouldn't just depend on, you know, these two countries. It would depend on the state of readiness of many other countries, many other transport hubs, etc.
You know, Ibrahim, there's a few permutations that one could look at, for example, okay? Let's be realistic and let's look at things from a perspective of where we sit in South Africa. At this particular point in time, we have not yet tested 1% of our community or of our citizens in South Africa from the 55 million people in terms of COVID-19. So we sit with a scenario where, if one thinks about South Africa, you think about South Africa being two countries. You think about a privileged group of South Africans, and you think of an underprivileged group of South Africans. Because if you look at South Africa from a perspective of haves and have-nots, you've got a very, very great divide. People who live in, you know, informal settlements, people who live in impoverished situations, those are people that live in confined spaces. And as a result of a situation, you know, your advert that was playing out just before the Adhan, one of the doctors saying that one person in a community could infect 100 people within a week. You know, in informal settlements, one person could infect 1,000 people within a week. So these are the kinds of things that we have not yet come to terms with. Yes, the lockdown is supposed to help us. It's supposed to try and reduce the curve to a great extent. So permutation number one. South Africa doesn't come out of the woodwork. Saudi Arabia sees South Africa as a high-risk area and says, South Africa, you can't come for Hajj this year. You've got that situation. Now you've got to start working out what is the cancellation policies in terms of contracts from the operators and what is the processes around that. That's point number one. Point number two, alhamdulillah, the curve is flattened in South Africa. Things are going well. As of this morning, Saudi Gazette indicates that there's 2,385, you know, people infected with COVID in Saudi Arabia. You know, Makkah, Medina, Jeddah, Riyadh, and various other parts have been on lockdown, continue to be on lockdown in this particular case. But the number keeps rising. South Africa sees this as a high-risk situation. And South Africa says, no, we're banning our citizens from traveling to Saudi Arabia. You sit with a situation where you've now got to say, okay, let's scratch our heads and determine how we're going to work this. Saudi says Hajj is open, you can come. South Africa says, no, we're prohibiting you from flying there. So there's a tremendous amount of legal ramifications and equations that one needs to put into perspective in terms of this whole equation. Third scenario. Sorry, am I taking it too deep?
No, I think it's all important.
Third scenario. You sit with a situation where Saudi Arabia says, okay, Hajj is open, but we're now going to reduce the number per country. So, for example, Iran, which has got a significant increase in the number of COVID, they are a high-risk country. We're not going to take any pilgrims from there. We're not taking pilgrims from Europe because Europe is a problem at this particular point in time. So let's reduce the number of pilgrims that come in. We now have to work out, which we have, alhamdulillah, a precedent that was set some years ago when they decreased our quota by 20%. We worked on a last-in, first-out basis. So in maintaining date and time priority, the people with the earlier date in the queue would remain according to what we have decided. But that hasn't been decided yet in our current situation. So these are the permutations that you are faced with. It's all good and well from a perspective of the numbers in terms of that situation, but the unraveling of the economics of the rand value of each contract is the key to this whole equation. And that is what we are currently sitting with both SAMTA and SATOA, the two umbrella bodies of the Muslim travel operators in South Africa, and the lawyers, in order to find common ground and in order to make sure that everybody is going to be appeased in the situation. The one thing that we need to be clear on is that if a Hajj operator has paid monies over to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, then that is done in good faith on the basis of securing rooms, because he or she did not anticipate a COVID situation to take place, and as a result of which we have to be patient in terms of finding an unraveling or in terms of finding solutions in this particular regard.
As part of the work that's happening, Shaheen, behind the scenes, with your officers as well as the travel operators, the Saudi authorities have said stop all work on Hajj administration for now, stop entering into any Hajj contracts per se. If one of the possibilities exists that, at a very late stage, it is mentioned that, people from South Africa, whatever the number is, are allowed to visit, do you have the steps in place, or do you have the facilities in place to ensure that that administration can happen in a very short period of time?
Alhamdulillah, let's first talk to you about this administration. So basically, when Hujjaj are accredited, they're accredited through what is known as the South African Hajj and Umrah Council registry. So they basically go into an operator portal once accredited, once the operator is selected, and the operator starts doing contracting, starts receiving passport information, and basically populates information on our system. That is only the first half of the equation. The second half of the equation is to populate the information on the Ministry of Hajj electronic system, which is known as the Masar, or the electronic Hajj system in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That system can be populated within 24 to 48 hours. And if everything is done according to process, for example, the counterparts in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia basically matches up with our counterparts in South Africa, then alhamdulillah, yes, we can get people out as quickly as possible. It's going to be airline related as well, because the important factor is all good and well to get visas in hand, but the important thing is to make sure that people can get onto planes and make sure that there are seats available on planes at that specific point in time. So we are in touch with all the operators. The operators have shown us their ability in the past few years, because this is not a new system. This system is in existence for the last 7 years. This has been working quite well. In the last 2 years, alhamdulillah, they've introduced the electronic visa process. So passports don't have to go into the embassy anymore. Passports are basically processed by the operator, and visas are then printed immediately from that operator's office printers and so forth. So from that point of view, I'm comfortable that inshallah we will get through all the necessary work, even if it means people must be working, late hours and through the night, but that certainly will take place. And we have communicated and, discussed this with all the operators and the umbrella bodies, and everybody is on board in that regard, inshallah.
The last one for you, again, just bringing it down to that person who saved for a considerable portion of his life. This is the journey that he was looking for, she was looking for a very long time. And now, just sitting in the midst of this uncertainty can be very, very unsettling. There's also questions that can arise, for instance, about taking leave from work, etc. It's unprecedented for you, it's unprecedented for them, but at the end of the day, any word of reassurance is what people will cling on to at this moment in time. What is your final word to people like that?
I think the most important factor that we need to understand is that nothing is done as a result of spite. Everything is done and happens by the will of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must view this as a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through. Because if this is going to be the height of the test that Allah is putting us through, then let our Hajj be at ease, inshallah. Let everything else that we're going to be facing year in after be as easy as possible for us, without any challenge, without any, hurdles, or without any speed bumps in the road. Ultimately, our yaqeen must be placed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bottom line is, if Allah wants us to be there, we will be there. If Allah does not want anybody from South Africa to be on Hajj this year, then nobody's going to go for Hajj this year. Whether it be from South Africa, from Nigeria, from Iran, from Malaysia, Indonesia, it is all up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us utilize this time of seclusion, this time of lockdown, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for all of mankind, for everybody in the globe, in order to ensure that we as individuals who have been yearning to go for Hajj is going to make that a reality, inshallah, this year, 1441 Hijri. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the niyyah of every single one that has made niyyah to go and perform Hajj, and that Allah accepts from everyone, inshallah.
Absolutely, and it's all captured, I guess, in the spirit of the ayah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put a burden on anybody that they won't be able to bear. Shaina, thank you so much, and I'm sure, I'm not only sure, I'm absolutely confident that any new developments, you would be communicating it via the various platforms with the community. I thank you so much for this very important interview this evening, and all the best during this very difficult time.
JazakAllah once again for the opportunity. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa'i kamila ajila to all those inflicted with this particular virus and also with any other illness. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that the ease comes as soon as possible for the whole of humanity and for the world, inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.